Please turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. We'll be looking at verses 18 through 33 this evening. And as you're turning there, I just want to give thanks on two notes, thinking of this morning's service before we enter into the text tonight. First, I want to thank our brother who I did need to ask about going to the back. He handled it like a man and afterwards handled it like a man. He was very manly about it, and I just want to acknowledge that. And also, I want to thank you all. As I mentioned, it was a long sermon. I thank you for sitting through it. Although I know some of you were surprised when I said that to you later, it looked like you're like, was it long? And it says a few things about you. First of all, you were engaged. The Lord was with us and God's people were engaged. It was encouraging. As I looked at it later, it was only about an hour and 15 minutes. So for us, that's not quite so long. Sometimes it can be a lot longer. But it also says what I've often said to people when they're visiting or asking about us in terms of the preaching, the manner of the preaching, also sometimes the length, as I would argue the text often requires. I say I'm thankful that I have a church that is open to and encourages this kind of thing. I know that I probably wouldn't be able to preach anywhere else. So I'm very mindful of that, and I just want to thank you for that. And then in particular, I want to thank you for sitting through that with the stench of a dead animal in our church. And I wasn't as aware of that at the time, because when I was here this morning, I was looking for a diaper that my son might have left behind somewhere, and I couldn't find it. And when I came up here to preach later, I wasn't as aware of it. The system was filtering it a little bit, but you all commented on how it was pretty potent. So that's a long time to sit and have to smell that, although in God's providence, as some of you noted, you thought I was aware of it with some of the things I said about the stench of the grave. And like, no, it didn't even occur to me, but I don't think let's recognize that the Lord is with us, and he's, you know, I think he gave us that dead animal. Let's pray he helps us get rid of the dead animal soon, but I am aware of that, and I just want to thank you for all that. I'm very, very thankful for you all, and I guess as we're preparing to go away for a little over a month, I just want to make sure that I say that. I want you to know I don't take you for granted, and I'm very thankful for you enduring the length of the sermon, the intensity of the sermon, and also as it turns out, the sensory experience of your nostrils this morning as well, in God's providence. Well, we're going to turn to Matthew 9 this evening. And we're going to handle it a little differently. I'll explain after we read the text. We're going to look at verses 18 through 33 this evening. And my intention is next week to go through Numbers 12 in the morning and complete that series of three place names and the relatedness. And then in God's providence, I'll come back from overseas with a good report, I hope. Just as we'll hear about the scouts coming back from the Promised Land in chapter 13 with the good report, and how we should be prepared to hear the good report and have our faith challenged to step into good things. This in the evening service, my intent is to finish chapter 9 next week as well, in case you want to be looking and studying ahead. I know sometimes some of you do that. We'll look at verses 18 to 33 tonight. Turn there with me, please, and hear now the word of God. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead. But come, and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb man spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. Tonight we're going to do a bit of a flyover of these verses. We don't want to miss the forest for the trees. There's a lot of details that I won't dive into with you, which, as you know, is not so much my nature, but for a number of reasons, I think it's important to look at the main themes, but mainly the main theme. There's a lot of similarity to the longer healings, the longer discussion of the healings that have come already. There are some new things. There are some interesting things we could delve into. But I think it would be best for us to focus on the main theme. What is the overlapping theme? What is the focus of all of these verses together? And I do believe Matthew has us, he wants us to be thinking of them together. And we'll look for the cue for that. His main theme is the fame. The celebrity and the fame building about the person and work of Jesus Christ in their midst. Matthew shows that when Jesus touches people personally, their stories touch so many other people. I submit to you that's the gist of these verses. When Jesus touches people personally, their stories about his person and their lives touches so many other people. Jesus didn't then seek celebrity status, but it couldn't be helped. Matthew Henry writes, Honor is like the shadow, which as flees from those that follow it, so it follows those that flee from it. That's a pretty helpful thought. If you try to chase your shadow, you can't catch it. But if you just move along about your business, it follows you. So beloved, Christ is busy about the ministry of his Father who sent him, and everybody is flocking to him. And may you also flee to Christ to honor him in your home, and to find more and more that he will honor you and your family with his presence there in your house. And as you bring more and more people into your house to meet him there and hear about what he's doing in your home there, more people will be added to the family of the church. More glorious testimonies to the wonder-working power of Jesus Christ in the lives of his people. The message for you from this text tonight is this. Get out the good news about Jesus in your house. Is Jesus in your house? You then will certainly have a testimony about it. Get out the good news about it. Bring people in your house to hear it. Get out the good news about Jesus in your house. May Jesus be personally invited into your houses. May Jesus be personally invited into your houses. Think of Zacchaeus. It is said that salvation came to his house. Another tax collector like Matthew who wrote this. And salvation came to his house, and happiness and joy and reconciliation and reparations were made in his house Why? Why was there salvation in his house? Why was there joy in his house? Why was life changing in his personal home? Because Jesus had come into his house. The person of Jesus had come into his house. And what is the name of Jesus? Yeshua, what does it mean? God saves. He is salvation. It's his very name. And he was in this house. And this is one of the themes I want us to pick up on. House. It's not exactly that of every story, but I think it's related. Because after all, everybody wants Jesus to touch them and to take that touch back home. But a number of times it's happening in someone's house, or he's going to someone's house. Notice how often Jesus is about physical healing and spiritual healing ministry in someone's home. Very personal. He makes personal calls. As one of the commentators said, he is the preacher who then steps down from the pulpit and goes out to be the great physician in people's homes. They heard about the paralytic, remember. Lowered this man into someone's home. Jesus was in this home preaching and teaching, and they're lowering him in, and he was healed. Think of the centurion's servant. He was in his home, and Jesus sent his healing spirit into that home and healed him. The publicans and the sinners were feasting and were fellowshipping with Jesus. Where? In someone's home. And do you remember where that, whose home it was? The writer of this gospel, Matthew's own home. As a person whose life had been changed, when Jesus said, "Get up and follow me," and he did. And now his whole home is being transformed. The people he used to sin with, he's bringing to Jesus, who is the Savior of sinners. Home is where the heart is indeed. Open its door to Jesus wider and wider. Thankful that he sticks his foot in as well, so it never closes. Because you will be, again and again, deeper and deeper, personally touched. When Jesus personally meets with you, he touches and transforms you and your house. May Jesus be personally invited into your houses, because when Jesus personally meets with you, he touches you and he transforms you and your whole house. You know, there's a reason that our children want our hugs and need our hugs. There's a reason that we desire and need their kisses. There's something about personal touch. Have you ever noticed that when someone touches you, there's certain people, I still remember certain people, I barely know them. I remember a pastor's message once about the touch of a hand, and it riveted me. And I remember a man back in Rochester, New York. I was at an event, and this fella who I was trying to get a job with never did, but he met with me later with another guy, and they counseled me on how to get a job in Pittsburgh and the similar thing, and I did get it, you know. But I still remember, it just comes to mind right now, that I remember he put his hand on me at this event. And I was a nobody, and I was a kid, you know, and I know you still think I'm a kid, but I was more of a kid then, you know. I didn't have a job, I didn't have, you know, a wife or family, and I was trying to get a regular job, and I was at this event trying to figure out my life, and he just made a point to talk to me personally, the executive director, and put his hand on my shoulder. And I remember that. It's just coming to mind at the moment, this touch, the personal touch of the spoken word, the personal touch of his hand. You know, we really enjoy Dr. Bob Godfrey's messages. And I've said to many of you, I still remember, I'm sure he doesn't remember me, but I'll never forget him. Because in Pennsylvania, I was at a training session in eastern Pennsylvania. And again, I hadn't even started the job for the seminary, but I was there for people who raise funds and support for the seminaries. And he was there, the president of the seminary out here in Escondido, talking to the president of my seminary. And he took interest in my name, my last name. Now, it helped that it was Dutch. and though I didn't know much about that, what stuck out to me, that it was more than that. He kept talking to me. like I was a real person. And I'm like, wow, this, usually what happens is they say something and they move on, and you're in the middle of a sentence and they've moved on in their head. And then pretty quickly, you know, even the best of Christians can tend to do that when they're schmoozing. And I was a real person to him, and I always remember that. Every time I see him on the videos we watch, I always think of that. He personally touched me. This is what Jesus does. He touches us. Do you notice how much that's another theme of the text? This touch. He's touching in different ways, physically and spiritually. He physically grasps the girl's hand. He doesn't even say anything this time. Oh, he could have just said, arise. He just, at least in this account, he just takes her by the hand. You know, her father asks, please come and touch her. Lay your hand upon her and she'll be raised. He does more than that. He takes her by the hand as a gentleman would, eh? And helps the little lady, though she'd be but 12, get up. And the other Gospels say that she starts walking around and talking with people. I mean, it's incredible, right? But he touches her. He does this also spiritually. He says to the woman with the hemorrhage for 12 years, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Daughter. Oh, that's a term of endearment. And he says, be comforted. Just as with the paralytic, he says, son. See the compassion. This man's being lowered down from the ceiling. He can't even move. He says, son. Son, be of good cheer. And it's the same Hebrew, same Greek, not the Hebrew, for good cheer or good comfort. It's actually the same word in the Greek. He also says to them often, believe, have faith. He's stretching their faith. He's encouraging. He's not suggesting they don't have faith. He's saying, have faith. You know how we say that? Be believing. Have faith, brother. Have faith, sister. He sends you the comforter of the Holy Spirit to touch you from within. And when Jesus touches you so that you touch him back in faith, he changes your lives. And he gives you a personal testimony. Like Paul in the book of Acts, right? He has a personal testimony, a number of places in different ways. But ultimately what it is I was trying to kill God's family. And now I'm trying to build up God's family. I was dead and I'm now alive myself. I was blind. And then he blinded me further, but now I see everything like I didn't see it before, the same scriptures. But now he's resurrected my soul, I see. And I serve those to live whom I was trying to kill. That's his testimony. God gives us that kind of testimony. I remember our brother Elder Renner saying he hated this guy at work, right? He couldn't stand his Christianity. And then God saved him through the witness, and now he loves it. You see, God does this when Jesus touches you physically, spiritually, and he gives you also an ongoing testimony. He keeps touching you. He keeps helping you touch him. He keeps touching you deeper. And the more you get used to his touch over the years, just as you do for a spouse or a child, that becomes more and more familiar, more and more lovely, more and more memorable. It's just a lovely thing to get familiar with the touch of Jesus on our body and on our soul. And that testimony in your home is what brings people to Jesus and brings Jesus into their homes. Beloved, may you bring people to Jesus by letting them into your homes to behold your healing. I mean, there needs to be healing there, but then you're going to want people in to see it, right? You can't help yourself. And that's a significant part of Christianity and ministry. That's what's life-changing. May Jesus be personally invited into your homes. Because when Jesus personally meets with you, he touches and transforms you and your house. And he gives you the opportunity to bring people to Jesus himself by letting them into your homes to behold your personal healing. Because of his personal presence in your lives. This, I think, is the main theme of our text tonight, the celebrity status that is building for Jesus. Everybody's talking about him. Everybody's following him. We go back to Matthew 4, verse 23. There's already a whole bunch of healings. Everybody's coming to be healed by him. And in that context, they're coming to hear him. And hearing him is healing. And he's got to do the Sermon on the Mount outside because there's just too many people following him now to hear from him. And then he steps down and he just starts healing more and more people. And so there's this growing crowd that wants to follow Jesus, that wants to see Jesus, that wants to touch him, even just the hem of his garment, that he would change their lives. Not that he would have a Facebook or a Twitter account today, but if he did, everybody would be on it. I mean, everybody would be following it. This celebrity thing, this fame is building about Jesus, and it's the kind of thing that you and I should just love to see, that he would be increasing. Where is it happening many, many times? Where is this fame developing? Where is this personal interaction with Jesus, this life-changing personal relationship starting and growing with Jesus? It's happening many times again in people's homes. They've invited him to their home. They're having life-changing experiences. People are hearing about this and following them or inviting them into their homes or going after him in other people's homes. Just as Paul not only preached the word for 3 years in Ephesus publicly, but from house to house. The theme of these stories is Christ's growing fame. Verse 26. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Literally in the Hebrew, literally in the Greek, that fame, really could be translated report or news. It's good news. You know, it's a fame that's this news. It would be on TV, right? It would be on the talk shows. It would be on the talking heads. They'd be talking about Jesus because nobody's seen anything like this. Nobody's seen anyone like him. Verse 27, and when Jesus departed, thence two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Ah, Son of David. What does that mean? The Messiah has come. He's here. The Messiah, the Anointed One. Matthew's recently called him the Son of God and the Son of Man here, the Son of David. He is the king who would sit on David's throne, and he has come, which is why Matthew 21, they try to make him king when he enters Jerusalem. Verse 31, but they went, they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Again, spreading this fame about Jesus, literally making known of him. Let's pause for a moment. Okay, but are we supposed to do that? Because isn't he forbidding them? Well, there's a few thoughts. First of all, perhaps Calvin really seems to want to say, well, it's kind of like for now, not forever, right? Because the message of Jesus, of salvation, and knowing him personally must get out. A couple of things it could be. First of all, we know from some of the scriptures that he gets so famous, he can't go into certain places anymore. The crowds are too big. He can't do ministry because it's just too crazy. You know, there's too many people. He has to go other places. He has to preach other places. He has to heal other places. But, and perhaps in this context, the miracles being done, there is overall, as you're going to see in the next verse, next week, Lord willing, there's just this great unbelief. And so it says because of the unbelief, he couldn't do the kinds of works he would do elsewhere. Maybe those are aspects of it, but we know certainly today, this gospel's been written for a reason. It's the good news, and it's to be published, and it's to be published in our lives. Think about it. It just couldn't be helped. It just couldn't be helped. And when Jesus is personally in your life and in your home, thus, if he really is, then you are personally changing all over, and so are your people. You just can't help it, but have it a witness to the community. What's different about you? Jesus. What's happening to you? Jesus. What's happening to your house and your family? It's different than everybody else. Jesus. And more of Jesus. More and more of Jesus. And all that that means. Why did the ruler and the woman who was ruined seek after Jesus? Well, they heard about similar news in other people's homes, in other people's lives at this point. Verse 33, and when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. The crowds wondered. They had never seen things like this in Israel. Now think about that. They'd seen a lot of neat things in Israel over the history of the church. Elisha, Moses, all kinds of amazing, miraculous works of the Lord. But they'd never seen anything like this. Never these many things, rapid fire, one after the other. It's like, boom, boom, it's like a tennis match, right? You just go back and forth, back and forth. It just doesn't stop. It just keeps going more and more. And every time it happens, immediate, sudden, total change. It just keeps happening. Nothing like that in Israel. It's spread out and in pieces, typifying Christ. Jesus is here. It's just boom, 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 boom. And a lot of these things you're hearing about, you've already heard about. It's more of that. And just different aspects and new things, but it's just, wow! We've never seen anything like this. Why? Because the Messiah is in our midst. He gives sight to the blind. You try doing that. So, people who are born blind, we've never seen anything like this. But people who are blind are now literally seeing. Imagine what that would mean for someone today. He healed a woman that Luke tells us no physician could heal. Imagine what that would mean to have every physician tell you there's no hope. And Jesus, the great physician, touches you by looking at you as you just touch a piece of his clothing and boom, you're healed. I mean, people are going bonkers. No wonder they want to chase after him. No wonder they want to chase after him for their loved ones. Wouldn't you? Of course. Now think about this. According to the Levitical law, she was unclean. What do we see here? Jesus is the Holy One. He touches her, and she's made clean because of him. She's untouchable. He can touch her, and then she can be touched. He raised a young girl from the dead. And beloved, can we not appreciate what that could have meant for us? And what it will mean for us. He exorcised another, not the first time, won't be the last time, another demon. I mean, again, who can do that? And he made a man incapable of speaking, who was incapable of speaking and hearing. What did he do? In a moment, he's hearing. He's speaking. Imagine what that would mean for someone. To be able to hear. You ever seen some of those things with some medical technology that restores a little bit of an aspect of seeing or hearing, like for a young child? You ever see those videos where they got the implants and all of a sudden they hear mom or dad's voice, kind of, sort of, and what happens on their face in YouTube? You ever see the one where the young little boy, for the first time, they put a special pair of glasses on and kind of, sort of, he sees his mother's face for the first time, and his face, when she hears mama's voice and then has a face to put to it, it's a beautiful thing. Make you weep. This is what Jesus is doing to people's lives by being in their lives constantly. And immediately from that hour, verse 22, we've heard that before, from the moment he says it or does it, it's done. Whole, complete, every time. Give another part of your personal life you've been afraid to share with Jesus. Give it to him, beloved. It can be immediately and wholly complete. The girl arose as soon as he took her hand. Eyes were opened at once. The man suddenly heard and spoke. Many amazing stories, but nothing like what has been happening here. So the news is spreading like wildfire. Because he was personally transforming so many people as he personally encountered them. And again, often in their own personal homes or the personal home of someone else. Who opened their doors to Jesus there. He is a healer of whole households and real individuals. The gospel promises in the book of Acts is the salvation of God through Jesus is for you and your whole household. And don't let the devil make you think that can't be by turning to the world. Open it up more and more to Jesus and you watch what can happen if you'll touch him with faith. Matthew Henry puts it this way, in Christ there is enough for all, for every hearth, for every heart, for every home. Allow me a few disclaimers, however. As we have before, remember these miracles are not normative. Jesus is physically in their presence. And he's doing these mighty works, as you remember, to help everyone know they can believe he truly is the Son of God sent from the Father in heaven. This is it. And he's not here today in the flesh. He's in heaven in the flesh. So you can't be guaranteed of such miraculous physical healings. Am I saying that can never happen? I'm not saying that. But we don't want people to think that they don't have faith. It's not a lack of faith if you have to endure a physical difficulty, a thorn in the flesh, if you will. That being said, don't think that he can't and that he won't do amazing things in your homes and in your lives. And as you give your body more to him, I've been losing weight, folks, and I'm loving it. And you know why it's happening? Because I'm giving my body more and more to Jesus and obeying him as it relates to gluttony. And I'm getting a lot of help from my family. I love it. Jesus can make my waistline different and my clothes fit better. It's happening. I have that testimony. Hallelujah. Because I feel better and I'm doing better. And he can and he will touch you in the flesh still and in your soul still. How can he do that? Certainly because of the Spirit. But he can come into your house. Physically, he can still come into your house right now. Well, how can that be? When you let his body, his church, the household of God, the family of God into your house and into your homes. When you can have your physical and spiritual needs met and be touched by Jesus, body and soul, by the spirits and bodies of the members of his body, for a meal, for fellowship, where folks like Elder Renner will most often address you as he always does. I don't know that he ever addresses me differently. Brother, that's nice. Right? Daughter. Son, brother, sister. And then be treated like brothers and sisters. As our brothers from Los Angeles have been coming down for a while now to experience more of that. And they experienced it again in one of your houses today. They said they keep coming back and bringing new people almost every week, not just for the sermons, because that novelty will wear off, as I've told them. I'm going to say something you don't like. I promise you. What's going to keep them coming back? What keeps them coming back? You. The family of God. Who have welcomed them and shared Jesus with them personally and in your persons. They said to me a little while ago, we just feel like when we've come, we've had immediate family. And brothers, you have immediate family. Do they not? Can I get an amen before we move on? Amen. And is it not reciprocated? I mean, we've often been just thanking God for you, brothers, and you come down all this way, you spend all day with us, and you come down, stay over with us sometimes, and you're in our homes, and I see my children and my sons who especially need your love. And I see, we've talked about how thankful and kind you are. We see your hands on their heads. I see him holding your hands. And you come down, and we have fellowship on the ferry ride over to Coronado, and you stay the night. it's reciprocated. You give birthday presents to my children. You strengthen. You teach them how to skateboard. I mean, is it not more than reciprocated? And thus, are we not enjoying this thing called family? And I'm struggling not to break out into, we are family. I got all my sisters. Okay, I'll stop because I don't know all the words. But that's what it's when it's real and Jesus is in our homes, that's what it is. And that's why we're in one another's homes. And that's why you're smiling and enjoying this reminiscing, because it's real. And the world doesn't have it. And so it doesn't have Jesus and doesn't have its healing, but you do. That's what happens when Jesus is in the house. When he's in your houses. And when you have your homes open for people to hear about Jesus in your lives and to share him with them in theirs, so they take him home with them. I've shared with those who are in our homes and sharing about ministry and discipleship and mentoring. I said, anything we're giving to you is what was given to my wife and me over the years at our family as people had us in their homes. And sadly, the testimony I hear too often is, I've never experienced this. I've never seen it before. Well, may it be more and more of our testimony, beloved. May it be more and more of our testimony. To let Jesus and his people in our homes, and to see Jesus and his people and ourselves being personally transformed with his personal presence in our homes. And so Elder Renner as well, and you know, he's not going to want me to say this, but he has these brothers from L.A. in his home today. And I said, of course he did. Of course his wife did. That's what we do. That's what Jesus is doing. After all, 1 Timothy 3 says one of the qualifications for an elder is caring for the household of God by showing hospitality in their homes. You become the arms and the hands and the embrace physically for the Lord Jesus Christ. Elder Maxwell and his wife, turn out, were in our home today. I didn't invite them. It was an impromptu invitation for fellowship by my four-year-old son. We didn't know about it. He personally and privately invited them to come out. You're going to come over to our house for lunch today, right? And they naturally asked, were you sent by your father or sisters to invite us? No. He just said, it was in my own brain. Why did he do that? Because he keeps seeing them in our house. He keeps seeing us in one another's houses. And it's just natural. Your family, you're coming over, right? It doesn't occur to him. I did say you should check with Dad first, but it's all right. I'd rather that. And he keeps seeing you as family, you see. And it's just natural. So I'm going to try to get into some of your homes, especially some who are homebound or we haven't seen it and be able to see as much. And you know what? We're just coming over, not because, yes, we have a sense of duty in the ministry, but it's just family. I mean, don't you want to try to see your family before you travel overseas for a month and just touch base, just in case? You know what I mean? It's just, so don't worry about it. Yeah, we're busy, and so are you. This is called family. This is what we do. And so we had the other elders' family in our home, in our house, and we again shared Jesus as his body with one another, being his body today, and again experiencing his transforming, compassionate love for those who love to keep his commandments as our brothers and our mothers and our sisters. Another disclaimer, this resurrection from the dead. This was a special moment when the Son of David was here on this earth. And even this young girl who was raised from the dead at some point went to her grave and is waiting for Jesus to take her hand again. And he will. And Jesus will take each of you by the hand and raise you from the dead, as from your beds, dear sisters and brothers, and he will call you daughter and son. And he will fill you with wonder and courage and cheer and forever as you sit with him in his Father's house and enjoy his family at the great marriage supper of the Lamb. And this is each your testimony. that you can be talking about in your homes and with people in your homes all the time. And it's what he will remind you of tonight when he serves you his holy supper over his table and sends you home with him with all your senses affirmed by the truth that he will never leave you nor forsake you because he has made God your Father and himself your brother and one another brothers and sisters as his one body. That is good news. Share it with others. That is, O household and family of God, get out the good news about Jesus in your house. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that you have come into our house, and so salvation has come into our homes. We admit we keep some doors to some rooms closed. Let us open the doors wide that you would enter in and your light would shine and remove the darkness. And we will have more of a testimony as your light shines, therefore, more out our windows and out of our eyes. And people say, what is happening? You are like night and day. And we can share the joy of the day star who has arisen in our hearts and more as we see the day approaching, which for us is a day of hope. The hope of resurrection and glory that will not disappoint us. You will not disappoint us because you are faithful to your promises. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And we do pray, Lord, that we would be having the gift of hospitality. That we would have so much of Jesus in our homes, we would have no fear of inviting others into it. Especially our brethren. And that we would just experience the life-transforming Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, that your fame would spread abroad in our lives, and that people who would hate us in the workplace would be eventually brought into our homes and changed and have Jesus enter into their hearts and into their homes, and that whole households would be saved, and that we would see the legacy of those who should be saved daily would be added to the church, the household, and family of God. The husbands and wives, daughters and sons, aunts and uncles would be transformed and reconciled and raised up, and that salvation would come and happiness would come to their homes as our lives are all turned upside down by you through your body. Reaching out with you, drawing others to our bodies to embrace them with you. Oh Lord Jesus, let us indeed get out the good news about you as we can share about you in our house. And let us see others come into it and then have that testimony in their houses so that before we know it, even as we come back from having the homes of our brothers and sisters shared with us, in Australia and Tasmania, on behalf of this house of God, we would have that greater experience of the family of God, and we pray you would grant that it would become official, that you may even, for your own name's sake and the blessing of your church, that you would make haste to answer these prayers, and that we would just experience more and more of Jesus, and that you would do more and more things that we can just talk about with people, and that you would draw more and more people into yourself. Oh Lord God, we do thank you that you have not left our houses full of cobwebs and loneliness and darkness, but you have entered in because you are the light of the world, and you are now making us more and more the light of the world. We gladly praise you. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We marvel in your wondrous works, and we want to tell of all your good works to the world, that they too would have Jesus enter their houses. Oh Lord, let this be on our hearts this week, and give us opportunities to give such a witness. We pray all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Jesus, who is our Savior, And all the people said, Amen.